Good morning. If you could just give me a few seconds of your time, I won't go long, just a few seconds. We have some trouble in the Middle East, as you know, and we need to stand with Israel. So pray with me. Lord, I commit your people into your hands. Right now, rockets are being sent into Israel. But you knew all about this. And your word teaches that you will protect them, that your hand is upon them, your love is upon them. They are your covenant people. And we stand as a church with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we stand with his people. And we pray for them in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, welcome this morning. We're continuing our series on the Holy Spirit. And we're looking at this morning at the anointing. If you have your Bible or devices, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 is where we are at. You know, when people get up here and share, those of us that get the privilege to do that, we don't always agree with the other person that gets up here. Last week, Dave got up and he shared about the helper. But there was something that I struggled with that he presented. So he was salivating over a pretzel, if you can see that. There it is. And it was a great representation of the Trinity. But he was actually salivating over the pretzel. I have a better Godhead representation that I want to share from my Pacific Island background. And that is that, where there is abundance, where there is just fullness in the Godhead. And I think Dave needs to go away and do his homework. So 1 John chapter 2. Sorry, Dave. The Bible says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you've heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. So last week, the helper, and thank you, Dave, for reminding us of how God just undertakes for us in every circumstance. He is our helper every day. And it's a personal help because every believer in Jesus has the Holy Spirit. Every one of us. So I want to put before you with this anointing three questions. So here's the first one that I want to bring across to you. What does the biblical term anointing mean? So when we look at the scriptures, what does it actually mean? Especially when someone says, oh, brother, you're anointed, or that was a wonderful anointing time of worship. What do we mean by that? Well, Bible study tools reminds us of the idea that the anointing of someone or something was to smear or rub with oil or perfume. That's what it meant. So, you know, sad example, but you know, we have oil here. And simply, in the Old Testament, They would take the oil and they would smear and rub, or perfume, for a specific purpose and for a specific task. For example, Isaiah 21:5, a call to rise up and do certain things. God's calling his people in Isaiah 21 to do certain things. And one of them was to rub the shield for battle. And that was to anoint the shield for battle. Another one, Jeremiah 22:14, talks about, and I don't really like this example. It talks about God's people who are not walking with God. And God begins to criticize them about how well they're looking after themselves and how well they're building their houses and how well they are anointing or painting. That's why I didn't like it. I'm a painter. They were told that the time that they spent painting or anointing their houses, well, it was a waste of time if you weren't close to me, God was saying. Again, in Amos 6:6, the Bible talks about rubbing our bodies with oil. That's just anointing. So as we move through to, well, for example, in the Old Testament, we have Aaron as a priest and his descendants. They were anointed with oil for that specific position or that specific task. And then we had people like Saul and David and Solomon and the rest of the kings that were anointed as kings, as leaders over God's people. And then you had prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, Amos and Zechariah, Elijah, all anointed for a specific task to do God's work. As you move into the New Testament, we find that God placed his hand on many for a specific ministry. People like, as you know, John the Baptist. He was the one who laid the red carpet for Jesus Christ, for the Lamb of God. And so you see he's anointed. He's set aside for this ministry to present to the world the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus himself, there was a day that he went into the synagogue and he just quietly got up as the rabbi and opened up the scripture to Isaiah 61. And the Bible says that he began to read that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has set me apart for this task. The Bible teaches Saul of Tarsus. Now, if you're not familiar with who Saul is, he simply was a religious, zealous fanatic who began a campaign against Christians of those days. And he was given responsibility to drag Christians from their homes and arrest them, and some of them were killed. Well, Saul, later named Paul in the Bible, was on his way to Damascus. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 9 that on his way, he encountered God. He encountered, in fact, the Lord Jesus. He was knocked off his mule. He was blinded by the light. And wow, Jesus spoke to this man. And he was impacted by this encounter so much so that physically he had to be helped to be taken back into Damascus. He was blind, he couldn't see, but he was blown away by that encounter. Well, as they were in Damascus, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came to another disciple who so happened to be there. And the Holy Spirit whispers to Ananias and says, I want you to go to Saul. And as we do, we argue with God's plans. And Ananias did that. He says, well, Lord, do you know who this man is? That's him saying to God, do you know what's happening? God's there folding his arms saying, just go. And Ananias, he sent to Saul, but he sent with this word that the Holy Spirit says to him. He said, go, for he's a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and to the sons of Israel. That phrase, he is a chosen instrument of mine. Saul was now anointed to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, of course, he would preach, as we would see, to the Jews as well, but he was specifically sent to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul was smeared or rubbed, anointed by the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 13, if you go there, the Bible says that the church at Antioch were just serving God, doing their ministry. And the Holy Spirit speaks into that church and says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I've called them to do. And so that's exactly what the church did. They sent them off. They laid their hands on Saul and Barnabas and they sent them out. But isn't it interesting that it was the Holy Spirit who rubbed them first, who smeared his purposes on them before the church laid their hands on them? That's exactly what he does. These disciples were singled out for this great missionary endeavor and church planting work. They were, if you like, anointed, set apart for the work of the Spirit by the anointer himself. So we see, and that was absolutely just a brief run through. It's up to you to start digging into what that really, what the Bible says about where it came from and what does it really mean. I've just given you a run through real quick. But here's another question. And the question is this: how is the Holy Spirit our anointing as conveyed in our passage this morning, 1 John chapter 2, connected also to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. How is it connected? And how is it conveyed, the anointing of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit as our anointing. How is that conveyed? Well, have a look at what John writes. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. Just an aside here. Over 2,000 years ago, he said it's the last hour. What do you think it is now? They went out from us, verse 19, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be evident that they were not of us. The context of this anointing that John is talking about is false teaching. And what the Holy Spirit himself will do on our behalf because of the false teaching. It was years earlier that the Apostle Paul himself, he called the elders of Ephesus together. And he had them come before him in Acts chapter 20. It's interesting that Paul said this. He said, guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood. He goes on to say that I know that false teachers, like vicious wolves, will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. I said hello to, I don't even know Joel's last name, Joel and Tamika Mark Luatutu's daughter. I said hello to them on the way home yesterday as I drove past. And he was showing me his little thing that he made so that he could bring the sheep that he had in at night to protect them. Interesting, he was acting like a shepherd, protecting his sheep. And today, unfortunately, false teaching is running rampant. And today, we see the rise of technology in ways that we cannot imagine. And so we see the rise of false teaching going alongside it. And so we have to protect the church. We have to protect ourselves. We have to protect each other. And John says, listen, we have the anointing. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside who teaches us the truth with regard to false teaching. You can go to any YouTube channel, any wherever your platform is, you will find people saying things that are unbiblical. Unbiblical. And so it behoves the believers today to protect yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you from His Word, from His mind. I remember years ago, I'd been a Christian for about 3 years or so, and I was working at the district court in Auckland as a clerk. And you're saying, really, Mike? We know what you're like. How could you be doing something like that? But that's what I was doing at the time. And one of the things that I loved to do, because it was so close, is that I used to go at lunchtime. I had an hour. I'd run to the church, beautiful church. I'd run to this cathedral type of church. I'd go down the bottom where I knew where some open rooms were. And I would take my Bible and I would spend time, just a few, half an hour, 25 minutes, just feed myself with God's word. There were other days where I was burdened, over, and especially over my family who were not believers. And I would be going to this place and I'd turn the light off. This is what I did. I'd turn the light off, shut the door in this room, and I'd be on my knees saying, please, God, please save my family. And I did that so many times. I remember one lunchtime, I went into the same place. I did what I usually do. I turned off the light and I shut the door so it could be nice and quiet. And I got on my knees and I just met with God. And then I heard the door open. And I'm thinking, what? And I looked around and there's this guy. And he says, oops, sorry, New Zealander. Sorry, bro, didn't mean to disrupt you. And I said, oh, okay, bro, it's all good. Can I help you? And then I got up and I said, my name's Mike. And he goes, call him Daniel. Sorry, Daniel, if you're here today. Call him Daniel. And so I said, hey, Daniel, how are you? My name's Mike. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I'm just praying. And he goes, oh, wow, I just come sometimes to just be quiet with God. I said, great, you want to pray with me? And he said, yeah, sure. So we just prayed together for a little bit. And then afterwards, Daniel said goodbye to me and I shook out my hand. And as I shook his hand, I could feel a little buzz. And he looked at me with his eyes almost popping out saying, can you feel the buzz, bro? Can you feel the anointing? Can you feel it? And I'm thinking, whoa. And I just said, yeah, whatever. And so I left him and I went about my business again. I actually saw Daniel again, guess where? At the district court, going to pay his fines. And then he saw me and I looked at him and I went, oh, that's that guy. And then I went up and I shook his hand and he goes, can you feel it? Can you feel it? And I'm thinking, oh, wow. And you know what it caused me to do? Because as I look through, I think, hang on. Where does it show me in the scriptures that someone boldly looks at you and goes, can you feel the power in me? Can you feel it in me? Can you sense it in me? Where does it say that? No, I just see God being honored. I just see God being glorified. I actually see those who have a sense of the power and the moving of the Holy Spirit in their lives. I have a sense that they are more humble about it than bold and arrogant about it. So it made me go away and search the scriptures. Dave talked to us last week from the book of John. And John reminds us that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, the one who testifies and glorifies about Jesus, the one who guides us into all truth, the one who declares to us the things of Jesus. You know, in my own personal, measure, I tend to measure conversations like of the Holy Spirit with this, that if people talk to me about the Holy Spirit and how God has been speaking to them about me or anything else, do you know, Jesus himself said, when I send him, who is he going to speak about? Himself or him or Jesus? Well, you search for yourself. Jesus himself said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will not speak of himself, but he will speak of me. That's why I loved our brother when he said through our worship time, he points us to Jesus. He points us to Christ. That's my measure. Every believer, I want to remind you again, every believer in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. And so every believer has the blessing of having the Holy Spirit's truth revealed to them, disclosed to them. And this is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that John is referring to. Every believer has a responsibility to allow the Holy Spirit to bring truth into their lives. We were talking about this as a staff, just this anointing, and it was Trina who reminded us last week that, you know, sometimes you're listening to someone, you're listening to a conversation, you're in a group maybe, and you're hearing things, and you know how it is. Trina was saying that the Holy Spirit brings a check in your heart, a check that may be, hang on, take that back to the Word of God and see if it aligns with my will, with my purposes. And so I encourage you that when, even from this platform, if you hear things and you feel a sense that the Holy Spirit is saying, well, hang on, you check that out for yourself. Do it. And he will reveal. He is so faithful to reveal truth to us. The final question I want to put before you is this. If the Holy Spirit's anointing presence is absolutely clear, he's in us. If it's clear, then what is our response? What are you going to do with this? What is our response? How are we going to respond to him? Well, firstly, I cannot emphasize this enough. Remind us that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Every one of us has been earmarked, has been anointed to carry out the Great Commission. Every one of us. All believers are set apart for good works that Ephesians chapter 2:10 talks about. All believers can choose to position themselves to be used of the Holy Spirit who has already anointed us for ministry, for the gospel. So here's the first thing. Here's our first response that I want to challenge us with. If that's true, be ready to say yes to the anointer. Be ready to say yes. In the words of Julie with that song, make room to hear his voice and be ready to say yes. Jesus said in John chapter 20 emphatically, as the Father has sent me, even so I send you. So be ready to say yes. You know, it was Philip the evangelist who in Acts chapter 8, he was a yes man. Just a yes man to the Holy Spirit. You would find Philip involved with this revival in Samaria and just busy doing what the Holy Spirit was doing. And I don't know where and when it happened, but at some point in time, the anointer came and says, it's time to rub you into another place. I'll take you away from the crowds and I'm going to take you to a one-on-one adventure with an African. And what did Philip do? He went. He said yes to the anointing on the inside. Incredible. And as our faithful sister comes up, Robin, Gaia, to come and share a testimony with us, we have, even amongst us, not only Robin, but amongst the rest of you, we have stories of people saying yes to the anointing that's on the inside of them. Now, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
You're good? Yes, did you bake me something today?
No, I didn't.
Well, you better go sit down.
I've been in the garden all the morning in the garden.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's where I worship God, in the garden.
Hey, Robin, I'm aware that, and because I've spoken to you and shared with you, that over the last few years, the Holy Spirit has been speaking in ways that maybe was surprising to you, as you said to me, in your latter years.
I think that stems from way back we did Bill Hybels, Just Walk Across the Room.
Yeah.
And that has inspired me. And I've tried to do that many times. But other than that, I meet people outside the supermarket. And just this last week, I met a lady there, never met her before, from Sri Lanka. I keep wanting to say Ceylon, but as most of you know, it's not Ceylon anymore. Anyway, I said to this lady, and it just seemed like she was waiting for me. I said, would you like to have coffee? She said, I've just been waiting for somebody because I want to learn English. I said, well, I don't teach English, but I can speak English. Anyway, so we exchanged numbers. Her husband had gone off shopping and Ken had gone off, so I said, let's just exchange phone numbers. So we did that, and then we text on the phone and said, we'll meet on the following Monday at 10 a.m. So come Monday, I get in the car and I thought, oh, how am I going to remember this lady? I've seen her once and I'm not that good at recognising people. Anyway, I pull up in the car park about four parks down from Woolworths over there. You know where I'm talking about. And with that, who should pull directly in front of me was this lady's car. Now, God's got a sense of humour, hasn't he? He knew I probably forget what she looks like. But I got out the car and I waved. Here I am. And she was so surprised. She said, oh, how did you know? So we went off and had our coffee, and at that stage, we discussed each other's faith, and I had a New Testament, a Gideon's New Testament. I need to stock up on those, but I was able to give that to her, and she was so excited that it was in English, you know, because she's still learning. She's only been in the country a couple of years, so that's what she was really excited about.
Good. Well, there you have it. You can come and get your lovely wife. There you have it, just a story. Did you have a verse that you wanted to...
Well, yep. I mainly wanted to share this because you were in John chapter 1, John chapter 2.
Yep.
I'd already chosen this 1 John chapter 4, which is briefly goes, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. Mm. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and we rely on the love God has for us.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. And so there you have it. Just an example of someone who's willing to say yes. And that's not a one-off for Robin. We've found that this is an ongoing ministry that Robin has, just conversations with people. So secondly, with regard to false teachings, our response, with regard to false teachings that are rampant today, all believers in Christ have this Holy Spirit inside of them to teach them, to help them unpack biblical truth, to guard and guide them against the wolves that are in sheep's clothing. So here's another response. Be open to receive the anointer's truth. So how do we do this well? How do we position ourselves to receive the anointing's guarding and guiding truth? I want to suggest two or three things. Firstly, this. Surround yourself with God's word. Be consistent with your devotions. Set aside time for God. Jealously guard it. Go to your husband and say, "Not today, honey. I'm busy with the King." Guard your time with God and his truth. Feed your mind with God's word and with podcasts and with teachings that will saturate you with the mind of the Spirit. Because as you do that, he will draw that out to help you guard against false teaching. Hebrews 4:12 says, as you know, that the word of God is a sharp, two-edged sword. And it rightly divides between the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Secondly, test what you hear. Go back to the source of truth. Let the Holy Spirit, who on the inside will just bring an amen to his truth if it lines up. So test the spirits, the Bible says. Be like a Berean. Acts chapter 17, there was a group of people called the Bereans. And I'm telling you, this was the Apostle Paul teaching them. And even though it was the apostle, the Bible says that these Bereans went away from his teaching and they began to search the Old Testament to see if these things lined up. These things that Paul said lined up with God. So test the spirits. John says in this letter, chapter 4, "Dear friends, do not believe everybody who claims to speak by the Spirit. But you must test to see if the Spirit comes from God. So let me remind you again. If I or anyone else comes to you and says, 'God has told me to tell you this,' be gracious and say, 'Thank you for your input. I'm going to take it back to God and see if he'll speak the same thing into my heart.'" Why? Because the Holy Spirit not only lives in you, he lives in me. So test what you hear. And finally, and this is important, talk about what you hear with each other. Get together. Have a chin wag about the Holy Spirit series and talk about it with each other. Because the Holy Spirit is living in each and every one of us that believe in Christ. So that when we share, it's powerful and it's growing us. Remember, the Bible talks that every believer has a spiritual gift or more. And spiritual gifts are found in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's also found in Ephesians chapter 4, and it's found in 1 Peter chapter 4. Search those scriptures and see how God has just littered his people with spiritual gifts. And some of those gifts deal with discernment and teaching. And if those specific gifted people are walking with God, they have something to offer us as we connect into them and guard ourselves from false teaching. The Bible says that we have an anointing, and it's Him, you know, the one that's the helper. It's Him, the anointer, the one that's on the inside of us. And as the worship team makes their way to the front, there might be some online or here this morning that says, you know, when you shared, Mike, oh, a lot of stuff just didn't make sense. I didn't understand what you were really trying to convey. I could see your passion, but I couldn't understand it. Well, maybe it's because you don't have the anointer living on the inside of you. And the way that you can rectify that is to embrace the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, as simple as A, B, C. As simple as saying, A, I admit that I'm a sinner, that I was born like this, and you're the only one who can rescue me from my sin. I admit that to you, God. And B, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died and He rose again for me and He's coming back for me. I believe that now. And C, I commit, I surrender, I confess for you to take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. I surrender my life to You. And when you do that, the anointer comes to live inside of you and He protects you and He sends you out. But there's also a group here and online that you say, well, that's not my life. You mentioned Philip. That's exactly not what I'm up to. It's like Donna's balloon. It's flat. And God in His grace says, I can fill you up. Jesus said in John chapter 7 that those who believe in me, out of their innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. That's the Holy Spirit. Rivers, not trinklets, rivers. And so I encourage you to make room, to open your heart and let Him have His way. So that when He does have His way in our hearts as believers, He can send us. He can guard us and protect us. He can smear us and rub us into His purposes because the world is looking for Christ. And we have the answer. As we prepare to sing this last song, let me pray. Father, I'm so excited that it's not just Paul, it's not just Philip, it's not just Mary, and it's not just Ruth and Deborah. You've given us all the Holy Spirit today as believers. So see our hearts, Lord. See us in our weakness and in our strengths. See us in our in the simplicity of our personalities and our journey of faith, and use us, smear us, rub us into Your purposes so that the world may find Your Son and embrace Him in Jesus' name. Amen.